two things mean it's time to check in live on the phone with R.W. Estella. Good morning, R.W.
Hey, good morning, Allison. Even before dawn, last Tuesday morning felt portentously subdued. I had risen as usual between 4:30 and 5, fed the coon cat, and made some breakfast for myself while pulling some handouts from the archives for the 8 o'clock class I would meet down in Bangor. To the east, the sky had built just enough cloud cover to help the rising sun turn the horizon a rosy Homeric hue, which soon melted into a pale silver slate firmament that framed the snow-laden pines lining my way south to the college. After class, I dropped by the department office to check email and pick up snail mail, and then wandered back up north to the Old Town Y for a swim, and then home around noon to join millions of other Americans watching a unique historical event unfold, the inauguration of our 44th president, Barack Obama. Tracking the course of the presidential campaign from 2006 to 2008, photographer Scout Tufankian shot over 1 million pictures of Obama. As if distilling all those images and more into a few dozen fleeting minutes and hours, Obama would be center stage from the Capitol steps to the luncheon in Statuary Hall, to the promenade along Pennsylvania Avenue, and on to the 10 inaugural balls that served as one half of a set of bookends, with the other heralded in his inaugural address when he asked us to mark this day of who we are and how far we have traveled. Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written 61 years ago, holds that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. And elements of that line resonated throughout President Obama's inaugural address. Indeed, peace and dignity is a phrase at the core of this new president's agenda for the nation and the example he envisions America needs to present to the world. Many of us who watched the day's events unfold will probably long remember the vitality of the president and his wife walking along with, instead of riding in, the motorcade, of their tentative, though nonetheless dignified, attempts to make their way through a few moments of dancing in the spotlight, and of their incredible indefatigability as they moved from one event to another, from late morning to late evening. Much the same cadence describes the new president's first week on the job, calling on top military advisors to speed up the withdrawal from Iraq timetable, announcing the closure of the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, nominating a candidate for attorney general who emphatically condemns waterboarding as torture, and rolling out new policies to curb the power of Washington lobbyists. To keep tabs on the nation's myriad current economic crises, President Obama is also scheduling regular morning briefings to occur simultaneously with his daily national security briefings. In addition, he is pushing a new energy bill that includes alternative energy development, upgrades to the nation's electric grid, and a national mandate for renewable energy use. Despite our engagement in two concurrent wars overseas, our burgeoning barrage of grim economic updates from every sector, our reluctance to place too much faith in the abilities of our government in general to solve any of these issues anytime in the near future, our collective hope going into the second week of our 44th president's term in office seems to be at an all-time high. Even if we are half this hopeful a month from now, at least our attitude should still be on the plus side. From Orono, Maine, have a good day.